with us to the book of Acts. Acts this morning, chapter 28, and we'll pick up where we left off about 2 weeks ago in our series. This will be part three in our series of life lessons, what the Bible teaches us about real living, about living victoriously. I like taking the Bible. I don't guess it's a secret, but I like taking the Bible. I know it's a theological book. I know it's very deep in truths, but I like to take the Bible and I like to make it practical on how I can use it, how I can apply it, and how by using its principles can be victorious over the things that I face in life. I don't want the Word of God just to be something that tells me how to be saved, but I want the Word of God to instruct me on how to live and how to live victoriously. I want to behave myself in the way the Word of God tells me to. I want to overcome the way the Word of God allows me to. I want to know more about God's Word and how to take it and use it and become who God wants me to be. And this morning I want us to look in Acts chapter 28, and I want us to look in verses 1 through 6 this morning. And we'll preach out of these particular verses, maybe just a little bit different this time than maybe what's normally expected out of these verses. But you just pay real close attention to us this morning, if you would. And I promise you God will tie it all together this morning. If you found your place in the Scriptures, we'd ask you to stand as we honor the reading of God's holy word. In your Bible, you'll find in verse number 1 where the Bible says, "And when they were escaped," and we'll give you a little background information on who we're talking about, "and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." By the help of the Lord this morning, we'd like to preach to you a message entitled "Lessons from a Snake Handler." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning once again and we thank you, Lord, for the fine number of people that you brought out to the church this morning. I pray, Father, that your blessings would just be upon each one. Lord, I pray once again this morning that you would render the blessings to the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, now that you'd just use your servant to preach. Lord, I can't do anything at all unless your Holy Spirit does the preaching today. But Lord, I pray as your Spirit preaches, Lord, that the Word of God will pierce and divide asunder, Lord, soul and spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that we can take the principles of your Word, Father, and willingly take them and use them in our lives. That, Lord, we can be overcomers. Lord, that we can take the lessons that you've given us today to live victoriously. Lord, I pray today if there's one here that's lost, Lord, they're without Christ, without the hope of eternal life. Lord, I pray today, Father, that the Word of God would speak to their hearts. Lord, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd convict their souls, Lord. And Father, I pray that they would come willingly today to an old-fashioned altar. Lord, that they'd come and repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work of Calvary. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, it would be their day of salvation, that today, Lord, they'd be saved, they'd have eternal life through your precious blood. Lord, I pray today as your children, Father, that you just give us minds, Lord, that are attentive today. Lord, take all hindrances, put it aside today, Father, I pray. Lord, allow your preached word to go forth, Lord. And Father, we'll love you and we'll praise you. And we ask it all, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. This passage this morning that we find, or that we've read, finds Paul is on his way to Rome, and he's in a ship, and he's in there with a host of other prisoners. And he's on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And Paul would spend quite some time in Rome, and he would eventually give his life for Jesus Christ while there. In chapter 27 of Acts, you'll read that Paul and his companions get caught up in a terrible storm. And everyone that's on the ship supposed they were all going to die. Everyone except Paul, that is. The Lord had sent an angel unto Paul to comfort him and to tell him that although the ship was going to be lost, that all the lives of those that were on the ship would be spared. Well, the ship was lost in the storm, but all those on board made it safely to the shore. Paul and his shipmates became marooned on an island named Melita. This little island is located in the Mediterranean Sea between Sicily and Africa. It's called Malta today if you look it up on a map. And when the survivors landed on this island, they're met by some what the Bible calls barbarians. They're natives to the island. And verse 2 tells us that the inhabitants, these natives in Melita, were quick to offer aid and comfort to Paul and to the others. There was a total of 276 of them altogether. Well, Paul goes out and he's helping gather wood for the fire. And as he's gathering wood for the fire, a snake, what the Bible says, a viper, comes out, bites him on the hand. And while it's hanging onto his hand, Paul sees it and shakes it off and throws it into the fire there. And all the people look at it knowing, at least the natives of the island look at it and know it's a very venomous snake. And they just think that at any time Paul's going to die. I mean, it's over for him. He's been bitten by one of the most poisonous snakes around. He's not going to last very long. And so Paul was facing a real trial of his life when he was bitten by this particular snake. But God in His mercy fulfilled the promise of Mark chapter 16 and 18 and spared Paul's life. Everybody looked at him, couldn't believe that he didn't die, couldn't believe he didn't swell up, and couldn't believe that he didn't stop breathing, his heart stopped, and all these things. And the Bible says in verse number 6, they changed their minds and thought he was a god. I mean, who else could take a bite by the snake like that and not die? I mean, he must have been superhuman or supernatural or something. Well, you know, not only did Paul face a snake that night that was out to harm him physically, but there's some other snakes that night that Paul faced that I want us to look at. And I want us to look tonight, just kind of tongue-in-cheek, or this morning, about lessons from a snake handler. I've been titled it a snake handler simply because Paul handled a snake there at one point in time. It come out and bit him on the hand. I don't know if any of you have ever been at a church where they handle snakes or not. My father-in-law, who's from West Virginia, born and raised in West Virginia and lived in the coal mines of Virginia, in that area all of his life, has got pictures of them dragging out the bags and the big, thick snakes. It's about this big around, you know, and pulling them out and people handing them and stuff. And folks, I want to remind you this morning that this is not the place for that, all right? No, sir. All right? We are not a snake handling church. All right? If you ever want to be a snake handling church, you just let me know in advance, all right? But Paul handled a snake and threw it off in the fire. But this morning, I want us to look at the lessons we can learn from this ordeal that Paul faced as he was on the island of Melita, and the lessons that we can take, because I believe that Paul faced some other deadly snakes that night and he shook off all of them. And I also want us to point out the snakes that he faced that night. I don't want us to say he just faced them and not tell us what they are. I want us to know what the snakes that he faced that night were. And I want to encourage you and I this morning to know that we can recognize the snakes and that we can also repel the snakes that latch on our lives. Folks, any time that you try to do something for the Lord, any time that you try to live your life for Christ, the devil is going to try to raise up and cause opposition. He's not going to allow you just to go on for Jesus like nothing else has happened. Folks, the devil is going to raise up and he's going to do what he can to destroy your life, to destroy your faith, to come as opposition against you, to destroy your commitment to Christ. And I believe that's what he did with Paul here as he was on the island of Melita. And the first lesson that we see in this particular passage today is we take a lesson to learn how to distinguish the snakes. Folks, you and I need to learn how to distinguish the snakes. A lot of people don't have a spirit of discernment about them, that they can see that the devil is trying to dupe them, to see the devil is trying to harm them, to see that the devil is trying to pull them under. And a lot of people don't have that discernment in their lives to understand what that is. I'll find you a great example of that. It's the lottery today. A lot of people don't understand the fact that when people do those things, they see the wealth they could get, but they don't understand the poverty the devil is bringing them into. A lot of people don't see that and understand that today. And folks, we need to understand that we must recognize the snakes that come our way to try to latch onto our lives. And Paul recognized this snake, and he shook this snake off. I want to show you three snakes that attacked Paul on this particular night. The first snake was the snake of crisis. The snake of crisis. The Bible said in verse 3, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Folks, if there was ever a man that was in a crisis at this point in time, it was Paul. Because the Bible said that the natives knew that this was a very venomous snake. And if you know anything about venomous snakes, you know if they bite you, you better get medical attention real quick or there's going to be lots of problems. And folks, the natives saw Paul bit. All other 275 other men saw Paul had been bitten, and they thought at any point in time this man's going to die. Paul faced a crisis. Paul faced the fact that he could die at any moment. And folks, there's a lot of times there's snakes of crisis that come our way when it seems like at any moment in time it's going to snuff us out. And folks, Paul faced that snake. And if you look back through the scriptures, you'll find there's a lot of other people that face those same snakes as well. You ask Job, and he'll tell you that he faced the snake of crisis. You ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace as to whether they faced that snake of crisis. You ask Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den whether he had faced a snake of crisis. You ask Elijah when he was running from Jezebel whether he faced the snake of crisis. You ask the apostles one by one as they gave their life for Christ as to whether or not they faced the snake of crisis. You can even ask the Lord Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and pouring out his soul before the Lord whether or not he was facing the snake of crisis. Folks, you and I today, if we serve the Lord, if we walk with Christ, we're going to face the snake of crisis. The Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. It says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We need to understand that if we live this life and stay in it long enough, there's going to be snakes of crisis that come and try to latch on to us and try to destroy our lives. In John chapter 16 and verse number 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Folks, in this world that we live in this life that we walk, we're going to face tribulation. We will face the snake of crisis at some point in time in our lives. The second snake I want you to recognize today is not only the snake of crisis, but I want you to recognize the snake of criticism. Now we're getting down into the nitty-gritty right here. Because the Bible says in verse number 4, that when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt, this man is a murderer. Although he had escaped the sea, he couldn't escape justice finally. And they begin to criticize Paul. And they begin to say things falsely about him. And folks, there's going to be times if you live for Jesus Christ and you do what you know is right, the snake of criticism will rise up and try to bite you. There will be people that will criticize your faith. There will be people that criticize your walk. There'll be people that criticize your enthusiasm. There'll be people that criticize where you stand with God and what you're doing with the Lord. They'll try to undermine your motives. They'll try to say this and say that and falsely accuse you. Folks, we need to understand that there is a snake of criticism that will rise up to bite us if we allow it. Folks, even Jesus was not immune to the snake of criticism. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says this. He said, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." Let's just pretend he's coming to Glendale Springs and everybody around known him for years. The Bible says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" Sounds like something Jesus would do, doesn't it? "And behold, certain of the scribes that lived in his hometown, knew who he was, said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.'" Let me tell you what tried to rise up and bite Jesus. It was the snake of criticism. And folks, if we serve the Lord in this life, there are going to be people that the devil will use to come against you and criticize everything that you do. Folks, I'll just be honest with you. There's some people, I think they have the gift of criticism. Amen. I don't care if you're quiet or not. All right? Hey, a man said to John Wesley once, let me quote to you. Man said to John Wesley once, said, "Mr. Wesley, I pride myself in speaking my mind." Sounds good. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, I just tell everybody what I think," you know? He said, "This is my talent." "Well," said John Wesley, "the Lord wouldn't mind if you buried that one." Hey, some people think their talent is to tell you what they think. Some people think their gift of God is to just be as blunt and as ugly as they can be just so they can say, "I let them know what I thought." Let me tell you something. There's going to be people that's going to rise up and criticize everything you do. It doesn't matter what it is you do for God. Doesn't matter what your motive is. They're still going to try to undermine everything that you do. And folks, there's a snake of criticism. And thirdly, we can identify this snake. There's the snake of cynicism. The snake of cynicism. In verse number 6, the Bible says, "Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly." Hey, they said, "You know what, old Paul? He'd been serving the Lord all of his life, but he ain't going to make it." They were cynics. "Oh, he's doomed. That's it for him. Might as well just hang up his hat and give it up. It's over with. No more. Hey, he'll never survive this. He'll never come out of this. Oh, he went this far, but I guess this is the end of the road." And there was cynics facing him right there. Folks, I'll tell you right now, if you live long enough in this life and crisis comes your way, there's going to be people that look at you and say, "That's the end of the road for him. He's not going to make it another. He's not going to go any further. Hey, you know what? He was a good man for a while, but you know what? This thing is too strong. This thing is too powerful. This thing, he's not going to overcome it. This mountain is too high." And folks, there was a snake of cynicism that rose up to bite Paul. And you know what? King David was not immune to the snake of cynicism. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says this. In verse number 28, do you remember what was going on in that chapter? In 1 Samuel 17, that's the chapter where David fights Goliath. Oh, Goliath had been out there taunting Israel for so long. And Israel wouldn't go out there to fight him. And old David was just coming unto the battle. He wasn't coming to fight. He was just coming to bring supplies and food and things. And you know what? His brothers looked at him. The Bible said in verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom Hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Hey, they were cynics in there. They said, David, you didn't come to bring food. David, you didn't come to do this. You left those sheep out there on their own. You came so you could see a fight. In verse number 33, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David, there's no way that you can defeat this guy. David, I don't care what armor you put on yourself. I don't care that you fought the bear. I don't care that you fought the lion. I don't care what you've done. You're too young. You're too little. You're too small. There's no way that you can win this battle. Folks, the cynicism was just oozing out of all of them. Hey, you ever get around a bunch of people that say there's no way you're going to make it? There's no way you can come against that. There's no way that you can cross that man. You know what that is? That's a snake of cynicism trying to come up and bite you. Hey, can I tell you what to do? Shake it off. Shake it. Well, we could have a sequel to that shake it off message, couldn't we? Shake it off. Hey, Paul came up. He was getting fire. He was doing work for God. He was getting fire. And you know what? Just seems like when you're doing something for God, that's when the snake wants to come out and bite you, isn't it? And the old snake come out and latched onto his hand. The Bible says, you know, it shook it off. Hey, we've identified, we've distinguished the snakes this morning. Folks, if you live for Jesus long enough, you'll face a snake of crisis. There'll be something that will come up and try to destroy your life. It will tell you that you're not going to make it. It will tell you this is the end of the road for you. Can I tell you right now, shake that thing off. Shake it off. Don't you let that thing lie to you. Don't you let that thing dishearten you and discourage you and think that this is the end. Hey, you shake that thing off. Not only is there a snake of crisis, there'll be a snake of criticism. Every time you go to serve the Lord, they'll criticize you. Every time that you do this, they'll criticize you. Every time you do that, there's somebody over there criticizing you. You can't make this one happy for making that one mad, and so on and so forth. Let me tell you right now, just shake the whole mess off. Get rid of that snake. You're not out to please man in the first place. You're out to please God. And tear off that snake of cynicism. When they tell you that you can't make it, just like David, there's no way you can do that. You didn't come here for that reason. You had an ulterior motive. Hey, you know what? Shake that thing off. Shake it off. Distinguish the snakes in your life so you can get rid of them. That's the first lesson we learn from this snake handler. The second lesson we learn is not only how to distinguish the snakes, but we learn how to disturb the snakes as well. I like to disturb the snakes. I like to stir them up a little bit. I don't like to get criticized as much as anybody else, but you know what? The Bible says, if you'll do good unto them, it will heap coals of fire on their head. I like to stir the snakes. Let me tell you two ways how you can stir the snakes. How you can disturb them just a little bit. Number one is build a fire. Build a fire and you'll disturb the snakes. Because there's a lot of people today in church, out of church, wherever you go, there's a lot of people today that's just comfortable where they're at, and that's cold and dead. Build a fire. Build a fire. Let me tell you something, they don't like the heat. You'll stir them up. You'll disturb them. They won't like sitting there. The Bible said in verse number 2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire. Hey, let me tell you right now, get some fire in your life. Serve the Lord with fire. The Bible said that it is Christ who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need some fire in our life. We need to get fired up about the things of God. Somebody goes to criticize you, let that fire you up. Somebody goes to be cynical to you, let that fire you up. Crisis comes your way, build a fire and disturb that thing. Hey, a lot of times though, crisis comes our way and it just douses our fire. We're on fire for the Lord working, and somebody criticizes what we're doing. You know what does it? Douses our fire. We got plans and we got a vision that God has given us, and we've heard from God. We're his sheep. We hear his voice and know it. And we've heard what God said, but somebody come to us and say, you're not really in it for that. You're in it for yourself. Or I don't care who you are, you still can't overcome that giant right there. And you know what? Let that thing fire you up. Let that fire you up. Disturb them snakes just a little bit. And secondly, not only build a fire, boost that fire. Boost it.
See, the barbarians was the one that built the fire. But guess what Paul was doing? When I got more sticks put on fire. He said, this fire's not big enough. This fire's not hot enough. I want this thing bigger. I want this thing hotter. I don't like it right here. We're still getting rained on. It's still cold out here. I need some more heat. And you know what he did? He was a prisoner. All he had to do was sit there and be a prisoner. He could have let the guards do all the work. He could have let the natives do all the work. He could have let all those things happen. But you know what Paul did? He got up and he went to work. He got up and said, I want to build a bigger fire. Let me tell you something. You want to disturb the snakes that come your way? Don't let the snake latch onto you and kill you and destroy you and take you down. Disturb that thing a little bit. Build a bigger fire. He built a big fire for God. Old snake comes in and latches on. Before long, he just starts trying to douse that fire you got. Oh, you love the Lord and you serve God, but then that snake of crisis came and you say, oh, God. Hey, throw some wood on it. Don't let that thing go out. Put some more wood on that. Get fired up for God. Hey, disturb that thing. Don't let it sit there and latch onto you and stay there comfortably. Disturb that thing. Hey, build that fire. Don't just build it, boost it up. Get it hotter. Hey, when old Nebuchadnezzar got mad at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what he did? He didn't say just throw them in the same old fire we've always had. He got so mad and been out of shape. He said, heat that thing up 7 times hotter than it is wont to be heated. You know what he said? He said, boost that fire just a little bit. I'll disturb these guys. Hey, when the snake comes and latches onto you, boost your fire up a little bit. Hey, if you boost your fire up a little bit, I believe it gets too hot for the snake to hang on. You like hanging on to something too hot? Hey, even them snakes can feel. Even them snakes have a feeling. And you know what? That old snake of criticism comes against you, heat the fire up just a little bit. Somebody comes along and they're cynical on you and say you've got an ulterior motive in all that you do. Hey, you know what? Boost that fire up a little bit. Boost that fire up a little bit. You know, the best way in the world to stop your critics is be successful at what you're doing. They tell you you got an ulterior motive, you just keep praising God. You just keep focusing on Jesus. You keep saying, God, it's not my will, but thy will be done. And you keep following the Spirit of God leading you. It doesn't matter what the critics say about you. It doesn't matter about what the cynics say about you. You just keep on keeping on for God. Hey, I'll tell you right now, you get in this line of work that I'm in, you'll have some critics. And let me tell you how many minutes of sleep I lose every night because of that. None. I'm not going to lose sleep over. I could let it eat me up. I don't like to get criticized. I want somebody criticizing me. I'm a human. I got feelings. I got emotions just like anybody else. And people can hurt my feelings just as easy as you can hurt anybody else's feelings. I don't like to get criticized. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to let it eat me up. Somebody criticizes me, I'm just going to boost my fire a little bit. I'm going to throw some more wood on my fire. I'm not going to let it douse me. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. I'm going to keep on going with God. And I know I'm going to face critics. I know I'm going to face cynics. I know I'm going to face crisis at some point in time. You know what? I'm going to keep on stoking the fire anyway. And hey, you keep on stoking the fire. We've identified or distinguished the snakes. Now we've learned how to disturb the snakes. Now let's just get rid of them altogether. Let's learn how to defeat the snakes. Here you go. Here's some good stuff now. Number one. Disregard rumor and gossip. Disregard rumor and gossip. I believe there's a lot of people don't have anything better to do with their time than to have rumor and gossip spread. Their whole life revolves around how much rumor and gossip. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Don't you throw stones at me up here when I say this, all right? There's a lot of people, they're asking for some of that holy gossip. You know what a holy gossip is? Have you heard about so-and-so? How are they doing? And then as soon as you get done there, they won't tell everybody. And then they add to what you said. And they pull and they twist and they do all these different things. And they do it in the guise of wanting to know about so they can have a prayer request. Don't you throw stones at me. You know it's true. I call that thing holy gossip. There's a lot of people have holy gossip. There's a lot of people that have some ugly gossip as well. You know? There's some ugly stuff. But let me tell you, the best way to defeat the snakes, disregard all of it. Disregard all of it. Let me tell you what Paul did. Verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" They began to gossip and rumor about him. They said he's a murderer. They had no evidence he was a murderer. He was a murderer. He must be awful. Paul did what? Shook it off. He shook off the beast into the fire. Did he confront him over it? No. Did he get mad and bent out of shape over it? No. Did he fuss and argue and fight over it? No. Did he even worry about it? No. He just shook it off in the fire. Hey, defeat the snakes. Disregard rumor and gossip. You know who you are. You know what's true. Hey, disregard rumor. Disregard gossip. And secondly, draw motivation from your opposition. Draw motivation from your opposition. Let me show you something right here. I like this. I don't know if anybody else will see this or if it's just me that sees it. Maybe I made this thing up. You watch this with me. Paul gathered a bundle of sticks, laid them on the fire. Well, what was the purpose of him doing that? Make the fire bigger. Make it hotter. Bible says a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Oh, the barbarian saw it and all these other things. Paul shook off the beast. Where did he shake it off at? What did that beast end up doing? Stoking that fire. It became kindling for the fire. What was his opposition? The snake. What did it actually do for him? Help build his fire. Because he shook it off right in the fire. Can I tell you something today? Don't let opposition hinder you. Let it motivate you to have a bigger fire. I'm going to allow the snake of gossip to motivate me to better this year. I hope we see more saved this year than we saw last year. We'll have a better time this year than we had last year. Because I'm going to shake that snake off right into the fire. I'm going to let it motivate me to do better. Hey, Paul took that opposition that he faced, and he gained from it. You want to defeat the snakes in your life? Don't let criticism get you down. Don't let rumor get you down. Don't let gossip and all these things people say about you. Don't let that tear you down. You use that to motivate you to something greater in your life. Hey, draw motivation from your opposition. And the last thing is this. Determine not to be poisoned by their venom. Determine not to be poisoned by their venom. The Bible said in verse number 5, he shook off the beast into the fire and he felt no harm. Paul didn't get poisoned by the venom of this snake. And you know as well as I do, if you hang around cynical people long enough, you know what's going to happen? You'll become cynical. If you hang around gossipers and criticizers and murmurers, you know what happens to us after a while? We just fall right into it. Hey, can I challenge you today, under the Word of God, determine not to be poisoned by that venom. Cast that snake off and don't let it harm you. Don't become prey to the gossip. Don't become prey to the cynicism. Don't become prey to the crisis. But defeat it. Shake it off into the fire and let it be fuel to motivate you to something greater in Christ. Lessons I've learned from a snake handler. I've learned how to identify my snakes or to distinguish my snakes. I've learned how to disturb them. I've learned how to defeat them. And I'm going to live victoriously in Christ over the snakes that come after me. I'm going to live victoriously. Are you going to live victoriously today? Or are you going to allow that snake to come in and douse your fire? Are you going to allow that snake to come in and cause you to lose hope? Are you going to allow the snake of criticism come in? You were working for the Lord and somebody criticized you and you said, "That's it, I just quit, I give up."
Or are you going to allow that to be motivation for you to do something greater? Are you going to allow cynicism to come in and say, you got an ulterior motive. You didn't come here for this. You came here to see this and that and all this. You're in it for yourself. Or are you going to allow that to motivate you? Hey, there's times people will say things just like that stuff to you. There's times that individuals will criticize and they'll rail on us and rail on us and rail on us. And there's going to be times crises are going to come. Just as they did to Job, just as they did to the three Hebrew young men, just as they did to Daniel when he was 85 years old and thrown into a lion's den, just as they did with the apostles, just as it did with Paul and Silas, just as it did with Christ Himself and many, many others. There'll be snakes of crises that will come. Will you be victorious over them? Or will you allow them to snuff out your fire? Hey, I think you can take those under the authority of God's Word. You can take them and use them to allow that to be motivation for your victory. You can take their poison and use it as fuel for your fire. But the only way to do that, number one, is you must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You must know Him as your personal Savior. Without Christ, you have no hope of victory. Without Christ, you have no eternal life. Without Christ, you have no protection from the snakes of life that come after you. But with Christ, He'll give you power to take up serpents and scorpions, the Bible says, and tread over all of them. I know people take that out of context, and that's why they bring the bags of snakes and all this stuff in there. But I'm telling you right now, through Christ, you've got the power to overcome and defeat that old adversary, that snake, that devil, Satan. You can overcome him. You can defeat him. Resist the devil and he must flee. Disturb the snake every now and then. Build your fire.